Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, we finished our study of the Gospel of John. And so, as best I can calculate, we have about 9 opportunities when I will be able to speak to you about the Scriptures, some other message from God's Word. And so as I prayed about what to tackle next, it's not my favorite book, but it's actually a very important book that has had an impact in my life as well. The book of Job. In the Old Testament, just prior to the book of Psalms, you say, well, Pastor, there are a lot of chapters in Job. How do you plan on covering that whole thing, 42 chapters, in just 9 sessions? Well, we will not be going chapter by chapter and verse by verse like we usually do, like we did with John's Gospel, for instance. But I want us to try and get an overview of this very important and famous book. Now let's look at what happened to Job. Job chapter 1. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. In other words, not because his kids were doing something overtly bad, but he thought, you know, they may be doing something wrong on the inside. And so just to be sure, I'm going to offer sacrifices on their behalf. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth, going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then. Everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, Yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Wow. Can you imagine disaster after disaster after disaster after disaster? It's going to get worse in the next chapter. Worse? How can it get worse? Just trust me. God willing, we'll get there. But I want you to understand something. We get to read the book of Job. We get to see glimpses of what's going on and why it's going on, and we know how it's going to turn out. It's going to turn out well for Job, but not until he has gone through horrible, horrible, horrible stuff. Job had never read the book of Job. That's the main point today. Job had never read the book of Job. So you and I, when something like this happens, we say, well, you know, that reminds me of Job. He didn't say that, okay? Because he was Job. He was the guy it was happening to. Nobody else had ever had an experience like this. Job had never read the book of Job. Now, the reason that God gives us his word is for our instruction, not just for our entertainment, not just for our interest. It's for our instruction. We're supposed to learn from God's dealings with people down through history. I don't want to be like Pharaoh. I don't want to be like Nebuchadnezzar. I don't want to be Goliath. But the question is, do you want to be like Moses? Moses had a hard life. Would you want to be like Daniel? Daniel had a hard life. Do you want to be like David? Well, certain parts of his life I really ought. Yeah, all these folks, there are certain parts of their lives that we think, yeah, I could go for that. But look what happened to Jesus. He's the one we should really want to be like. And Jesus says, if anyone would follow me, he must take up his cross and follow me. He wasn't talking about a piece of jewelry. He wasn't talking about a wooden thing with wheels on the bottom that we carry across the country. He was talking about dying. Dying to self daily. I don't know. When I look at all the characters in the Bible, the most blessed ones, I'm thinking, I don't really want to trade places. I don't. Well, Pastor Wood, doesn't your life have problems? Oh, yes. Yes, it does. I've seen my share of sorrow. But I wouldn't want to trade with anybody else. I think God knew exactly what he was doing when he gave me the life he gave me. I'm in the right place. I'm where God wants me to be. And he's working out his plan for my good and his glory.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and He's holding out His hand.
Job was the greatest man in the East, okay? In that whole huge region, he was the man. Everybody knew he was wealthier than everybody else. He had a better family than everybody else. And he was actually a better man than everybody else. God said so. God said there's nobody else on earth like him. This guy was the greatest. And all this stuff happened to him and more to come. Well, I don't understand how God could let that happen. I don't either. Well, Pastor Wood, I was hoping you would. Well, that's one of the main points of this book. One of the main things that comes through in this book is that human effort to decipher the mysteries and explain it all are irritating to God as well as to Job. Okay? Job's life is going to get much worse. And some of his friends are going to come to comfort him. And they're going to do a terrible job. And Job's going to be really frustrated with his friends and the things that they say. And we'll look at that. But God is angered by what they say. How do we account for the problem of evil? Many of you have heard that phrase, the problem of evil. Why is it a problem? Well, because if God is almighty, He has all power, and He knows everything. He's all-knowing, omniscient. And God is good. Then how can God allow evil? How can God allow bad people to do bad things to good people? My question for those who use that argument to try and say there is no God is, what do you mean evil? I saw a little clip of a bunch of theologians sitting at a table up front before a conference, and the moderator is taking questions from the audience, and he says, the question says, I have two brothers who don't believe in God. One of them says that he does not believe there is any such thing as evil or sin, and therefore he does not need a Savior. How would you answer my brother? And R.C. Sproul said, steal his wallet. Now, why did he say that? Is he really advocating stealing? No. What he's saying is, your brother can sit around in a comfortable life saying, I don't believe there is such a thing as evil. But if somebody steals his wallet, you better believe he's going to believe there's such a thing as evil. That was wrong. How dare they do that? C.S. Lewis said the same thing decades earlier. Only he said, steal his bicycle. And he didn't say to do it. He said, the person who believes that there is no absolute right and wrong and that it's all relative is able to believe that until somebody steals his bicycle. So R.C. Sproul was not above borrowing from C.S. Lewis. Now, here's the thing. Why would people say things like that? Because the point is, everybody believes in evil. Down deep, we all run into things that we just say are wrong. The fact that we believe there is such a thing as right and wrong points to one who is good. There's got to be a supreme standard, and it's built into us. You know how a compass points north? Why? Because it's magnetized. And a magnet is, by definition, oriented in a particular direction. The reason you and I have a built-in sense of right and wrong, the reason you and I have a conscience, is because God made us. And that points toward Him. Now, some compasses are more accurate than others. Some magnets are more powerful than others. But whether your conscience is strong or weak, it still points to the fact that there is a God. Johnny Erickson Tata has had a life of suffering and a life of great blessing. She is one of the people that I am most impressed with. She, as a teenager, dove off a little, I guess you'd call it a dock out in the water. She jumped off of there, dove off of there, and broke her neck, and has been a quadriplegic ever since. It's amazing that she lived, but she did. And she was really upset that she had lived for a while. Job got to the point where he was wishing he'd never been born. Johnny, as a quadriplegic, has been enormously used by God in ministry to millions of people, and has had a huge impact, not just in this country, but all around the world, helping Christians know how to better address the needs of people who have physical challenges and even mental challenges. Johnny has had this enormous ministry for years. And in the midst of it, she's written songs, and despite limited breath control, she sings beautifully. So she's a songwriter and a singer, a recording artist, an author, an excellent author, very insightful person. And so I was pretty shocked when she got cancer. I'm thinking, God, what are you doing? She is your beloved servant. She loves you, and she is pointing other people to you. Why would you let her get cancer? She fought the cancer. Somebody who once didn't want to live now really wanted to live in order to serve the Lord some more. And by God's grace, she overcame the cancer. Isn't that tremendous? And then she got cancer again. And she fought it again. And she overcame it again. And then she got COVID. She's older than I am. Not by much, but she's older than I am. When old people get COVID, it's harder on us than it is on you young people. She got COVID after beating cancer twice, and she fought it, and by God's grace, she overcame. But I heard her being interviewed now, 2 or 3 years ago. And she said, actually, all the problems of being a quadriplegic, which are many. I mean, you can't take care of your bathroom needs, for instance. And she talked about that. Other people have to do everything for you. And that's no fun. And she said, but all of the problems of being a quadriplegic pale in comparison to the horrible, searing, chronic pain that she deals with every day. Every day, as she's on the broadcast, sharing with a smile about how wonderful the Lord is, she's in pain. She's in horrible pain. She recently did a video about how that pain developed. It was when she was working on a particular painting. In order to paint, she's got to hold the paintbrush between her teeth and paint like this. And it was while she was working on one of those paintings that's similar in style to Van Gogh that she developed this horrible, horrible pain that the doctors have not been able to get rid of. Okay? By the way, I told you about the music and the writing and all that. I didn't mention that she's actually a brilliant artist. It's really good art. And she's really talented. And she's doing it with the brush between her teeth. But the result was horrible pain. And she went ahead and finished that masterpiece and has continued to paint. But the pain hasn't gone away. God, why? Why? I don't know. She doesn't know. But she said something recently that had been a great help to her, she said. Ten words. 10 words. God allows what he hates to accomplish what he loves. She didn't make that up. She said somebody else told her that. And it was very helpful. God allows what he hates to accomplish what he loves. You and I will never find a more powerful or important picture of that, fulfillment of that, than when we look at Jesus on the cross. Was it a good thing that they did to Jesus? No, is it an evil thing? Book of Acts describes the fact that it was evil what they did. But God used that to save us. Book of Job doesn't answer all our questions about suffering. It doesn't answer everything we ever wanted to ask. But what it does do is it reminds us that not only did Job not understand what was going on, but his theologically orthodox friends didn't understand it either. They came and tried to make sense of it in light of theology. And their theology wasn't bad. We read what they're saying, and it's like, well, they're defending God, and they are. They're not coming and accusing God. They're saying, hey, Job, this has got to be your fault. We'll talk more about that, God willing, in future sessions. But we need to understand that the book of Job was not intended by God to answer all our questions. It is intended by God to help us remember that there are a lot of things we don't know, we don't understand, and that the right response in every situation is to do what Job did in the chapter we just read, and that is to worship God. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you don't know what's going on, just worship anyway. Worship the Lord. He does not change.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.